Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, when we are so excited to be entering into our program year with so many of our things coming back, and also giving thanks to God today for the baptism of David Joe, who will be later in the service. Special welcome to all of you who are joining us from home. We're certainly glad we could be one community together beyond the walls of this building. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship with our confession. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in that promise of grace, love, and forgiveness, I invite us to take a moment of silence for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite all who are able to rise for our first hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths, turn our minds to your wisdom, and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, your minds, and your ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading this morning is from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will a new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A termite walks into a bar and says, "Is the bartender here?" Okay, let me try it again. A termite walks into a bar. Are you with me so far? And he asks, "Is the bartender here?" Groan. That should get a big groan. Termites eat wood. Bars are sometimes made of wood. So he asks, "Is the bartender here?" Somewhere along the way, I heard that if you're having a hard time figuring out just what to preach on, because the text is really tough, that you should start your sermon with a joke. And then the other day I was reading a devotion where a retired pastor shared how a friend of his was writing a book about the parables. And in this book he wrote, "Preaching on the parables is like trying to explain a joke. Either you get it or you don't." So there was a method to my madness in telling you that joke, that particular one. I remember the first time I heard it, my brother said this to our whole family gathered around a feast, and he shared the joke, and all the kids laughed, and my mother looked at us and said, "I don't get it. What are you laughing at?" But after reading today's gospel, what I really want to do is throw my hands in the air and say, "What you talking about, Jesus? This doesn't make sense." Like my joke, this parable should leave us all scratching our heads. Don't get me wrong. I think we all can figure out what Jesus is talking about toward the end, after he's told the parable, the part about serving two masters. You can't serve two masters, God and mammon, God and wealth, I think we all know what that meant. And certainly the Pharisees knew what it meant. They understood. And some of you have heard me preach many times before about how God desires our full allegiance, our undivided loyalty. It isn't that God wants to be first, per se. It's about God wanting us to trust in God, to put our trust in God above all else. And Jesus plainly said, you cannot serve God and wealth or mammon. That is to say, you can't worship God and worship money. Just one verse later, and the gospel writer points out, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed Jesus. They didn't get the joke. I mean, they didn't get the parable. And furthermore, they took offense at what Jesus called, when he called them out on, when he talked about serving two masters, because their devotion to money made their allegiance to God a bit of a hypocrisy. Clearly, the Pharisees understood exactly what Jesus was driving at. But what about the parable itself? Is Jesus really commending the rich man's dishonest manager? Regardless of his acting shrewdly, he was still being dishonest with what had been entrusted to him, what didn't belong to him in the first place. And then notice when he's confronted how he's only concerned with himself. He says to himself, he doesn't ask advice from others. He says to himself, I know what I'll do. He devises a plan so that the ones who are indebted to his soon-to-be former boss will now owe him a favor or favors. It sounds to me like the old saying, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That, I think, we can understand. But here's the thing. Parables have layers and layers of meaning, not just one. And many of the parables are confusing to us and to our ears. These parables were also confusing when Jesus first told them. And apparently they were meant to be confusing, perplexing, difficult, hard to comprehend. In fact, just a few chapters back in the same gospel, the disciples asked Jesus to tell them the meaning of another parable. And we're told Jesus explained the meaning of that parable to them privately. He also told his disciples why he taught in parables in the first place. Jesus said to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others I speak in parables so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand." It sounds to me like Jesus was teaching this way by telling parables on purpose. He told these confusing stories with their layers and layers of hidden meanings so that some would get it and maybe, perhaps, some might not get it. It's kind of like having to explain a joke. Either you get it or you don't. And if the joke has to be explained, you definitely didn't get it. Is the master in this parable really commending the dishonest manager for cooking his books? For acting shrewdly? Is that today's takeaway from the gospel? Or might there be something else going on here? Something perhaps hidden? I can tell you that most preachers, when studying parables, immediately look for the Christ figure. We look closely for how God is being portrayed, how God is depicted in the story. Because, of course, all Jesus' stories have to be about God, right? For instance, it's not all that hard to imagine God as being like a shepherd who leaves a flock of 99 sheep to go in search of the lone lost one, or as a woman who searches high and low for a coin, and then after she finds it, she spends far more than it was worth throwing a party for her friends and neighbors, as Pastor Ben shared with us last week in an eloquent sermon. It's also, we don't have a hard time imagining God as a father who throws a lavish party to welcome his son home, even after his son has gone off and squandered his inheritance, all that the father had given him. Or what about that parable of the farmer who recklessly throws out seed on good soil, but also on the path where the birds are sure to eat it, and on rocky soil where it can't take root and grow, and among thorns where it will be choked out before it has a chance to produce? What about that parable? The truth is, God's ways are not our ways. In fact, God says and does some pretty crazy things, like indiscriminately throwing seeds in all places, even if it lands where it will never take root and grow. Like welcoming home a rebellious and wayward child with open arms, or finding a lost sheep or coin, or throwing lavish parties to celebrate. Or like commending a dishonest manager for acting shrewdly. Or the ludicrous, crazy thing like becoming human and dying on a cross. There are some things we simply can't understand, and they will remain a mystery that none of us will ever be able to fully understand this side of eternity. And maybe that's okay, because I'd rather put my faith and trust and hope in a God who does foolish and unexpected and surprising things and encourage you to do the same. And maybe that's the takeaway for today. The elusive meaning and purpose we all spend time searching for has been there all along. We simply need to trust in our God, who is full of grace and mercy, our God who names and claims us in the waters of holy baptism, as will happen for David today. The God who marks us with the cross of Christ forever. Our God who loves us unconditionally. Our God who meets us at the table with a foretaste of the feast to come. We don't have to get it. God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness are continually being given freely, showered upon us. And all any of us can say to that is thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
the congregation to be seated, and if you'll pull out the red hymnal, the ELW, you can turn to page 227 at the front of the book. The numbers are in the bottom of the page. And I invite David to come forward, who will here be baptized this day. Many of you know David. He's been around our congregation helping us and serving in so many ways for a long time, and he has chosen now to be baptized. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the holy word of God, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. David, I ask, called by the Holy Spirit and trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to be baptized into Christ?
I do.
And now I invite you, the assembly, to stand again as we profess our Christian faith and first as we reject sin and then confess the faith of the church. And so I ask you, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Congregation may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raised us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And David, I'll ask you to step over here. And lean in here. David, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be God, the source of all life, the word of salvation, the spirit of mercy. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain David with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. Amen. David, child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever.
Amen.
Amen.
David, Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let us welcome David, our newly baptized brother, in Christ, into our family of faith.
We're going to make you join in a response. It's on the bottom of page 229, probably. 237, 238, somewhere in there. You see the bottom part? We welcome you into the body of Christ
and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world.
And now we can clap. Yes. And David, you can light that on every September, what's today's date?
18th,
thank you. September 18th, you can light that candle every year and remember your baptismal birthday. So you have two birthdays to celebrate now. The one that you were, the year you were born, the day you were born. The 3rd of November, okay. Mark that down, everybody. And then this day, which is a very special day, because you've now become a child of God. Oh, yes. Well, we'll not want to set off any smoke alarms. All right? But we continue now with the prayers of intercession.
As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. God, our Savior, you keep your faith, your church in faith and in truth. Accompany those preparing for baptism, affirmation of baptism, and those who have just received baptism. We give you thanks for the baptism of Benjamin, Adam, Roberts, Garius yesterday, and the baptism of David, Joe today. God of grace, hear our prayer. Divine teacher, you instruct your children to be responsible stewards of your creation. Show us how best to care for the earth and its resources, and guide those who work to develop sustainable practices. God of grace, hear our prayer. Ruler of the nations, you direct those in authority. Give leaders wisdom and compassion so that all may live in peace. Inspire public servants to follow the example of courageous leaders and safeguard the dignity of each person. God of grace, hear our prayer. Sustainer and giver of life, you bless our church with abundance. We give you thanks for the ministry of Lucas Scherson as he is ordained as a pastor later today at First Lutheran in Kenyon, Minnesota. God of grace, hear our prayer. Helper of the needy, you lift up those who are oppressed. Breathe justice into economic and social systems that perpetuate poverty and hunger. Sustain food ministries, clothing banks, and emergency shelters. Comfort all those who are sick, injured, grieving, and isolation and in pain. We pray especially today for Lou Berg, Terry Chapp, Norma and Steve Edmond, Dal Haverland, Joy Lathrop, Lori Lund, and Kristen Ware. God of grace, hear our prayer. God of glory, you gather your saints around your throne. Keep us thankful for the witness of those who've gone before us. Bring us with them to the heavenly feast that has no end, and comfort us in our grief. We pray especially for the family and friends of those who we have committed this week, Arlene Fors, Bill Zink, and Doris Colon. We also pray for those who loved Peg Emery as she died this week. God of grace, hear our prayer. Gathered together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also
thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide for our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share with all in need, through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and also upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join this unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who, on the cross, opened his arms to all. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For communion this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it in the cup. The cup is a divided cup that has red wine or white grape juice. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. Come, for all has been made ready. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of the abundant table, you have refreshed our hearts in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road, that we might serve our neighbors with joy. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Several announcements before the benediction of our life together. First is that directly after this service, we invite all of you into the parish hall for refreshments and our re-engage kickoff. As we kick off our program year, there's coffee and snacks, and we welcome you for a discussion of how we are an engaged community together. Second is to welcome you to Together Tuesdays, which we started last week and are continuing. We have a meal at 5:15 and our classes at 6, music together for small children's, children's choir, and our adult class. And then next, you probably noticed in the prayers that Peg Emery died this past Wednesday. Services are pending. We'll let you know as soon as they're organized. Also, the memorial service for Tara Pratt has been scheduled. It will be Friday, October 7th at 1 p.m. So mark your calendars for that. Then the last thing is I'd like to direct your attention to the last page of your bulletin. We're beginning the work for a new photo directory. To do so, we need your help. We ask that every member of Central provide us with your current contact information, whether it's changed recently or not. Some of our records have gotten a little old, and we'd just like everyone to do it to make sure we have everything up to date. And on the back of the page, on the bulletin there, you can see there's several ways to do this. You can fill out the questionnaire at the link, what's in blue there for you, or you can scan that QR code with your phone. If you aren't sure how to do that, your child or grandchild probably is. Now I invite all who are able to rise and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks.